Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into something transformative. NVIDIA's Jetson Thor. Forget what you thought robots were. This is about machines moving beyond simple tasks into genuinely smart, adaptive interaction with the world around them. We've looked at NVIDIA's own materials, other analyses to really unpack this.
Yeah, and what's really interesting, I think, is NVIDIA's shift here. They're not just selling chips anymore. They're building platforms, sort of like, you know, Google with Android. Our goal today is to figure out why they're calling Thor a tiny, affordable AI supercomputer and how it's set to change physical AI, embodied intelligence.
Okay, let's unpack it then. So under the hood, Thor's got NVIDIA's Blackwell GPU, tons of cores, plus a pretty beefy 14-core ARM CPU. Ooh. What's the special sauce here? Why this combination for robotics?
Well, it's that integration. The Blackwell GPU is brilliant for generative AI. Think robots understanding complex requests or even learning just by watching someone. And the ARM CPU, that handles the immediate stuff. Mm-hmm. Real-time control, figuring out paths, managing sensors. But the real kicker, I think, is the multi-instance GPU tech. MIG,
right. So one chip does multiple things.
Exactly. It can run, say, the visual perception for driving and a language model for voice commands all at once on one piece of silicon. That's a game changer for building complex robots without massive compute racks.
Okay. And that leads us to memory. 128 gigs of LPDDR5X. Huge bandwidth. Why is that much memory so critical for you, for the listener, to understand when we talk about smarter robots?
Right. It's not just more RAM. It's fundamental. It lets you run those really large AI models, LLMs, VLMs, directly on the robot itself. So understanding language, interpreting scenes, it all happens locally. No constant pinging the cloud.
So full in-memory AI, much lower latency.
Precisely. It makes the interaction feel immediate, allows for genuine reasoning and learning right there on the edge.
And beyond the brain and memory, lots of high-speed I/O too. We're talking multiple network ports, camera inputs, PCI Gen 5. What does that enable for a robot trying to make sense of a, you know, messy real-world environment?
Yeah, that's all about robust sensor fusion. Mm. It means the robot, or an autonomous car, can take in data from cameras, LiDAR, maybe radar, all at once, process it at high speed, and fuse it together.
And build a complete picture.
Exactly. A full 360-degree understanding of what's happening around it, even when things are moving quickly. That's absolutely critical for safety and just operating effectively.
And all this power crammed into a module that's, what, 87 by 100 millimeters? Tiny.
It's remarkably compact. Means you can embed this kind of intelligence directly into things like humanoid robots, drones, advanced machinery, without needing a separate bulky computer.
So let's talk performance numbers. Up to 7.5 times the AI compute of the Jetson AGX Orin. That's not just a small step up.
No, not at all. That's a generational leap. I mean, Orin itself was a huge jump from Xavier before it. And Thor also doubles the memory compared to the top Orin, gets you that 128 GBB, plus the faster PCIe Gen 5.
Any downsides? What about power draw? It's higher,
right? That is, yeah. Rated between 75 and 120 watts peak. But NVIDIA gives developers tools to manage that, to optimize power for the specific application, so you can tune it.
Okay, so with all that horsepower, what can it actually do? Let's talk real-world applications. Humanoid robots seem like a big focus.
Oh, absolutely. NVIDIA explicitly says Thor is architected from the ground up for next-gen humanoids. It's the compute engine for their Project GR000D foundation model. The idea is robots that understand natural language learn complex skills just by watching humans.
So not just pre-programmed routines, but actual learning and adapting.
Exactly. Generalization, learning on the fly, interacting intelligently in unpredictable settings, true human-robot collaboration, potentially.
And this multitasking capability we mentioned with MIG. That's big for autonomous vehicles too, isn't it?
Huge. It's a real paradigm shift there. You can use that virtualization, that MIG capability, to consolidate workloads. So the self-driving perception, the mapping, the path planning, and maybe the in-cabin stuff like driver monitoring or infotainment, all running securely on one Thor chip.
Which simplifies things a lot for car makers.
Tremendously. Less cost, less weight, simpler wiring. Makes deploying really advanced autonomy much more practical, more scalable.
Okay, and beyond robots and cars, broader edge AI, smart cities, factories.
Yeah, Thor brings that ability to run complex LLMs and advanced vision models right to the edge device. That means decisions get made instantly, on-site, you cut latency way down. And it helps with privacy, too, since sensitive data, like video feeds, doesn't necessarily have to leave the premises.
So it's like bringing server-grade AI performance out into the field.
Pretty much. It's democratizing that level of AI, making it potentially ubiquitous. And you have to remember, NVIDIA isn't just dropping a chip out there. They're building this whole ecosystem around it. Software like Isaac for robotic simulation and deployment, Metropolis for vision AI, plus a whole network of partners. It really streamlines development.
Right. So developers aren't starting from scratch.
Exactly. They can focus on what makes their robot or their system unique.
So wrapping up, what does this all mean for you, the listener? Jetson Thor isn't just another chip. It feels like a catalyst, doesn't it? Something to really speed up sophisticated AI getting into the real world, into our daily lives. And it's coming soon. The developer kits, the modules, expected around June 2025. This isn't far future stuff.
Which really brings up a fascinating question to ponder, I think. As this kind of AI moves out of the digital realm and starts directly interacting with, even manipulating, our physical world, how might your everyday interactions with technology, with autonomous systems, fundamentally change, and maybe much sooner than we think?